We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
It's fun to have fun in church. Yes? God is a God of joy. Joy. And we need to have a lot more joy. So, that little song put us in a happy mood for the morning. Some of us a little out of breath. But singing can bring much joy, right, choir? And this song is a spotlight for our scripture today. Several weeks ago, the last time I preached, we began to talk about the gifts of the Spirit as Paul explained them to the house churches in Corinth. They'd forgotten who they were. They had forgotten who they were as followers of Jesus Christ. They'd been lost in so much controversy. They'd have been abusing their gifts, their spiritual gifts. They'd been fighting with one another. It was a mess. And Paul was brokenhearted. And so the scriptures from a few weeks ago and today and next week all come from one little part of that letter. And the bottom line of that letter from Paul to those house churches, everyone has been given a gift. And the purpose of the gift is to bring us together as the body of Christ, each one using whatever gift God has given them for the glory of God, and to focus the family of faith on Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our Rock, for the transformation of this broken world out there. In particular, in this particular part, there's a disagreement between the Corinthians and Paul. And he's reflecting upon all the gifts he has seen. You know, he started these little churches, and then he went away. He went away after he saw they had gifts and they could sustain themselves and they could be the church alone. And now he's had a letter from them and there's all this controversy going on and his heart is broken. But one of the biggest controversies in those little churches was that some thought they had the best gift in the world and others thought they didn't have any gift at all. And so there was this controversy, the inferiority complexes versus those who were megalomaniacs. And Paul says the same thing to all of them. God arranged the parts of the body just as he wanted them to be. And God combined the members of the body of Christ and has given the greater honor to the weaker. And God has appointed each of us with a gift. When you fight over the gifts, my friends, when you fight over who has the best gift or the lesser gift, you're fighting over the sovereign grace of God. So Paul says, stop it. Just stop it and use your gifts for the common good to bring yourselves together. And to show how foolish they were and how counterproductive, he writes a little bit more to those who had the inferiority complex and those who thought they had it all. First, he asks those that feel inferior and have the lesser gifts and feel like they don't belong to the body. Paul wrote this very imaginative passage that the three wonderful readers read to you. And he's trying to make them kind of, you know, sometimes when you're so serious, you don't see the point. So he made it fun. And he said, imagine if the body were all a big giant eye. How would you hear? Or if the body were just this giant ear, how would you see? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If they are all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many, many parts. So he says, wipe that hangdog look off your face. Stop your whining about how important you are and get busy. Use the gift. And then he turned to the other crowd, those who thought they were superior because maybe they did something that was just outstanding in the church and they don't need the other believers because they've got it all. And Paul points out the human experience. Isn't it the case that the parts of the body that seem to be weaker, like the pancreas, are in fact indispensable? He wants us to see, and he even goes on to say the parts that are kind of unpresentable, we cover them. In reality, we treat the lesser part of our bodies with special care because they are so important to us. So, he says, bend your proud heart, stop singing your independence, and appreciate the lesser members. And then, you know, like when Mama had all these arguments, you gotta seal the deal. So then Paul has to seal the deal and bring the argument home. And in one final appeal, he directs them, and my friends, he directs us. In the first word of verse 27 in that 1 Corinthians 12, it's a big, emphatic, why, oh, you, and it's plural. It's not about little you. It's plural, and he says, you are the body of Christ. Look around you. This is the body of Christ. That's who you are. You must never forget it. I mean, if you just sat under the tree in the backyard today and thought about that, isn't that kind of awesome? That you are the body of Christ. Christ was resurrected. He was not among them. And God gave them the gift so that as they worked together, they were the body of Christ. I mean, when I think about it, as I was writing, I would just stop. That's overwhelming that God has entrusted us to be the hands, the feet, the loving heart, the presence of Jesus Christ. But it requires us to work together. And then he says, all of this was God's purpose from the beginning. In fact, the church is no different from the whole of creation. God has appointed. And that little verb, God has arranged. And you think of that first day of creation, and in the beginning, God. And as the story is written through this wonderful, beautiful book. And then the Word became flesh. And then the Word was crucified and died and rose from the dead, was gone. And then God had a plan. The church. In verse 18, he has arranged the members of the body so that we work together. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracle workers, healers, helpers, organizers, those who pray. And now these gifts have been given a new interpretation and directed for one purpose and one person only. God's whole idea of creating the body of Christ was to show the world what humanity should look like. Let me say that again. God created the body of Christ in order to show the world out there that, don't you know, it's broken. There's such a separation moment today. But God created the body of Christ so that they could see what life in Christ should be. So listen again. He combined the members of the body and has given a greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there would be no divisions in the body. And the parts have equal concern for one another. When one part suffers, all of us suffer. When one part rejoices, we all party with it. Imagine a reunited human race. Just imagine it. Where everyone cares deeply for one another. Imagine a world with no wars, no competition, no loneliness, no sorrow. Pretty unimaginable, isn't it? We can't picture it in our mind's eye, but that's exactly why God created the body, a group of sinners who are not divided, who care equally for each other, who suffer and rejoice with each other. God wanted that world to see what is possible with God's grace. Can't do it on our own. It is all God's amazing grace. So Paul then concludes, you are followers of Jesus. Be united to one another in the same way that Christ has united you. Everyone knows in order to be unified, it is important to be unified in love, to work toward agreement, and to avoid one-upsmanship. And then Paul says one more thing. You must adopt the attitude of Jesus Christ. Wow. I don't always act like a Christian. I don't always speak like a Christian. Paul is reminding us we are to follow and to embody Jesus Christ. One more thing. When everybody doesn't show up, like when your knee goes out, there's a hole in the whole process. There was a little yellow truck. Would you hand me my truck? There was a bright yellow truck going down the street one day. The neighbor was sitting on her porch, and she saw him stop. And one worker got out, started digging a hole. He got back in the truck. Second worker got out and filled the hole with the dirt, tamped it down. They moved about 20 yards, and the same thing happened. One worker got out, dug a hole. Second worker got out, filled it with dirt, tamped it down. She watched this process for about 10 stops, and she couldn't stand it anymore. So she jumped off the porch, ran down the street, and said, "What in the world are you doing?" "Well, ma'am, we're a part of the urban beautification project." "What do holes of dirt have to do with beauty?" "Well, ma'am, the guy that was supposed to plant the trees didn't show up for work today." It's a ridiculous little story. But it says when one of us doesn't do our job, there's a hole. There's a hole. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about. In this church, there were plenty of folks, and they all had gifts. But in their fighting, they didn't use their gifts. So there was a hole. What do you think about First United Methodist Church? Do we have any holes? When we don't use our gift, there's a hope. There's a hope. There's a quote from a great theologian, Frederick Buechner, who says, "Your gift is the point where your deep gladness meets the world's deep need." We have two women in our congregation who have worked with children for over 20 years. Every Sunday, they're in there with 4-year-olds, 2-year-olds, because their passion is children. What is your passion? Where does your passion meet the needs of the Church of Jesus Christ? Try to get through this. I wanted us to think, since this is the Thanksgiving season, about all the things we're thankful for on this day in this place. First of all, this is a place where we come together to be in presence of God and we're to be supported by one another. I give thanks for this body of Christ. Do you give thanks, oh God? Say to God, we give thanks.
Yes.
Now, I want you to take just a few minutes. I want you to stand up and turn to 2 or 3 people. And I want you to look them in the eye. Thank you, LaHonda, for being here today.
Thank you, Barbara, for being here today.
Thank you. And then thank you, Virginia, who's been here for years, for today. Now, it's your turn. Turn to 2 or 3 people and thank them. Okay, I'm better. For the last 2, almost 3 months, we have done 2 important fundraisers for the ministry and mission of this church. If you gave 30 minutes, you baked cookies, you gave 10 hours to set up, to clean up, to do anything with the golf tournament or the fall festival, I want you to put your hand up so we can say thank you. See, those are people using their gifts of helpers. If you teach in any Sunday school class, children, nursery, adults, or you teach in public schools, elementary, middle school, high school, or college, you have the gift of teaching. Put your hand up so we can say thank you. We had a funeral yesterday in the chapel, and there were about 150 people smashed in there. And after that funeral, I believe it was 8 women every time we have a funeral. And you know, we've had a few of those. Serve a wonderful reception. If you've ever been a helper at a reception or at the kitchen, you've ever been in the kitchen of the church, put your hand up. There we go. You see, my friends, all of us have a gift. And it's your task to figure out what your gift is. First, just say, what's my passion? What's my passion? And then ask God to show you the deep need of this world to match your passion. I saw a t-shirt at a meeting. On the front, it said, I do not go to church. And at first I was kind of taken back, but then he turned around. I am the church. The church is not a building. I go to that church. No, you don't go to that church down the street. That's a building. This is a building. A blessed, sacred, holy place, but it's a building, right? Bricks and a roof. You are the church. If this church were to fall down, we'd meet outside. We'd be the church outside in the grass. You are the church. And the song goes, we are the church together. And when there's division, we sit and talk. And in order to sit and talk, you listen first. Because you want to know what the other person is thinking. That's who the church of Jesus Christ is. You see, he had a passion for bringing people together. He picked 12 men that had nothing in common, mostly. A few fishermen, but nothing in common. And out of those 12 men, he brought them together, and you wouldn't be here today if it weren't for those 12 men and the Jesus Christ they served. He had a knack for bringing prostitutes and Pharisees together. But anyone who says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul and believed it, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you shall pray for those who curse you, and you shall love your enemy. Wow. Anybody that says that is just crazy about unity. Is crazy about communion. Is crazy in love with community. And that's our Jesus. At least that's my Jesus. But he's not here. He is only here through you and through me. Who's the church?
We are
the church. Together. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let's sing together. Will you stand as we sing, "The Spirit Sends Us Forth to Serve"?
Go into the world this day. Look, where does your passion meet the deepest needs? Use your gift. It is God's grace that has given you this gift, and God's grace that has put us in this place with these brothers and sisters. Thanks be to God.